I will press record, Antonio, and then
all right,
and then we will see what it erupts, because we only have 20 minutes left.
All right. Wow. You want to be strict about this?
No, I want to tease.
I mean, OMS strict about this?
I want to tease you.
OMS, sorry, you can't understand it because it's the Italian or Spanish acronym for the World Health Organization.
Ah, okay. So how is the health in your world?
Well, I mean, it's pretty good for the time being. Apart the fact that, I mean, it's been sort of two weeks or so that I'm feeling pretty weak, and I must have got some bacteria or virus. But apart from that, I'm okay, and everybody around me is fine.
That's good.
So, yeah, I have to say, I don't know how we will cope for more days of this strict or almost strict quarantine. You know, there's a sort of a lockdown situation here in Puerto Rico, so I cannot move. And in Italy, there is also an analog one, so I can't go anywhere.
Right.
If I move, I can't come back. And, you know, I'm pretty worried. In a few words, my mom is in quarantine. She's all alone, 91 years old at home, and my sister brings her food and the things that she buys for her, and without meeting her. And for the time being, she's very good. She's good humored and good spirited, and that's fine. So.
You're able to communicate with your mom?
Yes. I try to call her a couple of times weekly. And I communicate with my sister with chatting more than talking, but that's okay. So, and she's in Rome, so it's in Rome the situation has been much, much easier than in northern Italy.
Yes.
But my nephew is in Milan currently, and she has a broken knee. She had it before, so now she was forced to be at home before the pandemic. So anyhow, she's there. My brother-in-law also, he lived half in Milan, half in Rome, and now he's in Rome since probably a couple of weeks. So they're trying to cope with the situation. And,
And tell me more about, because I actually didn't know the situation in Puerto Rico until you mentioned in our chat that there was a curfew. Oh. So how things played out there?
Well, there's a nighttime curfew from 9 to 5, and everything is shut down. So universities, including mine, I think mine was the first, Sagrado was the first to close for precautionary measures. And but the other university are closed too. So shops and many restaurants are closed. The ones that are open, they only do deliveries or take out. So you can walk. During the day, you can take the car for, I mean, supposedly important stuff. And I've seen very fewer people than before the lockdown. But supermarkets tend to be, I mean, packed with people. Not really packed, because they get entrance is limited, so you have a queue and you have to follow more or less the established procedure to enter the supermarket or the pharmacy. So everything is controlled. And at nighttime, the beautiful street behind my apartment, you remember Calle Luisa?
Yes.
Which is so lively, and lately was so so nice at night, full of lights, full of life. And now it's completely black of absence of light and absence of life. So it's in a way, it's disheartening, as are the news, especially because the media tend to focus a lot on the bad news and not the good news that abound also. So,
and what about, because I know, what does it mean for the students at Sagrado? Because I know a lot of them live on campus.
Yes, well, every student, the two dorms have been closed down, and everybody is back home.
Okay.
So I have to say, little disruption. Things have been done in a very orderly manner, so I haven't heard of any uncomfortable situation until now. This past week, the week that ends tomorrow, was a sort of a preparation week, in view that next week we will resume classes doing the already famous online pivoting. That Felix seems to be so expert about, right?
How is your pivot move? You have a good pirouette.
Yes, pirouetting, pivoting. I'm somersaulting. I'm ready to do all the right moves.
Right.
So it was nice actually. Even if we're talking too much about Zoom, or similar tools. I've had 2 days packed with meetings with students, informal meeting with students, and it was pretty nice to actually see them.
Yes.
And talk to them. I mean, the great majority of them are very okay. A few of them could not participate, and I don't know yet the reasons why, but possibly a few for networking or bandwidth reasons. But I suppose that's the quite a minority. They were pretty cognizant of the situation and of the seriousness of everything, so they play ball with this, and of course they have many anxieties, but who doesn't, yeah, at this point? And many are related to the FAFSA, to the Pell Grant that they have, mm-hmm, to the registration for next semester or for the summer. So many questions that I'm not able to answer. But actually, we got a nice document yesterday that I have to review so that I will be able to answer this. A few of these questions were already answered by the university administration. So I have to say that they're working very, very hard this days to try to be preemptive in the situation that may occur. So
yeah, it sounds, I gather that your administration and university has been pretty proactive, and
that's very encouraging indeed. Yes. So let's see. I'm pretty optimist. I always am. But in this case, especially with classes, I feel it will be pretty fine. We'll have the time to adjust. Of course, you don't adjust in 1 week, especially when every course, I mean, the majority of the courses at Sagrado, except for nursing bachelor, that is actually fully online. So they are very well organized, mm-hmm, but other areas are not. So for the online realm, so we'll need some time to adjust and to make changes and to adapt to the idea, and so do students. But I think we'll do that for the majority of courses. A few courses will have a difficult time. I remember after the Hurricane Maria, we were the first also to reinstate classes in that case, the word hybrid was very, very, very good, because we did classes under tents and in rooms without light and without computers. So we got used to resolve a calamity situation and make the best out of it. But a few courses, I'm sure, say, for instance, an organic chemistry class, well, they probably had some more difficult time than I had, actually. Right. I could solve almost every issues with cell phones and tablets that my students had, but many other colleagues in other areas could not, actually. So
if I understand, I mean, you have the experience of moving through a disaster, but at the same time, now, I mean, that people came together for that, right?
Exactly. Yes. And in fact, I mean, if you read the press, there is this nice hashtag, which translated means we stop this virus united. So that's a very good meme to, I mean, if a bit rhetoric, but again, you need sometimes a bit of rhetoric to build also some shared space that you can count on.
What's the hashtag in Spanish?
Oh, este virus lo paramos unidos.
Okay.
That's, I'll write it down.
Okay.
For you, don't worry. So
I actually didn't get that fully, but
yeah, I'm sure that you got, you stayed here more than a month in the end, right?
Yeah, but I can't say my Spanish was terribly.
Your Spanish, that's not really the problem. The big issue is pronunciation.
Yes.
Coming from English and vice versa, it's the real problem is pronouncing. So,
but I want to. One of the people who I hear from often on Twitter, from the project in Mexico, Moisa, who is 86 and is one of the most active people among that group in Twitter, but he retweeted a message in Spanish, which was very interesting. More or less, the gist was, you know, by doing these extreme measures to quarantine, we need to recognize that millions and trillions of coronavirus bacteria are going to die, and we need to sort of like recognize, and like we're counting all the numbers on illness within the vaccine, we have to sort of like recognize that this is an outcome too that's worth noting.
Exactly. Sure, that's it. That's definitely true. And you know, I have news from particularly from Italy, and the newspapers, the media focus a lot on the bad statistics, but it seems that even with the bad weather, a lot of the elderly over 90 or something, a huge percentage, actually, over 80% of the elderly survive a virus attack. So
yeah.
That must be, we have to focus on that we have the resources, our body, I mean, has the resources to fight. And if we let it fight, unfortunately, anxiety and the fact that we receive a lot of contradictory information. You know, somebody says that using vinegar is helpful, then somebody else says no, it's not, and then, so it's a bombardment of contradicting information, and you have to filter it. And social networks are not useful at all in this time. You need to focus on the official information provider, but at the same time, sometimes the official information provider, saying, for instance, the World Health Organization, are very slow, and also official medicine sometimes does not recognize many other treatments that may be helpful. The debate and over vitamin C is more acute now than ever, because officially they say that it's completely useless. And I know many doctors who say otherwise. So I keep on taking it, and perhaps I drop down the drain a lot of money, but it may be helpful in the end. So,
And not to mention the how do you filter the information from the U.S. government?
Oh no, that's very nice. you simply block 100% of it.
Oh, okay. So,
especially from the orange agent.
Yes.
You simply do that, and that's fine. So, no, I mean, between information from the government, and it's not only the U.S., and also behaviors of people, it's really a wonderful world. I'm laughing about it, but it's actually a tragedy. You're seeing youngsters in Miami on the beach partying, like it was really summertime, and a lot of people in parks and everywhere from northern Italy to Spain and France having the time of their life without realizing the implications of doing that. And I find that very irresponsible, honestly, even if I don't want to judge anybody, but still, it seems to me pretty immature. And we have had today the first person who died here in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And that's, I have to say, it's sad. It's an Italian tourist who disembarked with her fellow passenger from a cruise ship. Now, I mean, that was 15 days ago or 10 days ago, I don't remember. And she was not the first coronavirus patient here, but still one of the very first victims. And who thinks about taking a cruise? Come on, during these times. I mean, I find it so bizarre, so surreal that sometimes this world seems a Dalí movie or a painting.
I've always found the thought of those kind of things as repulsive, but that's just me. Do you have any way of starting people singing from their balconies there?
Well, I've watched a little video of one guy who began playing a very famous folklore song, popular song here in Old San Juan. I don't follow much the social networks, I have to say. So
okay.
I don't know the developments. But I haven't heard much of things like it's happening in Italy or now it's Spain. I read that. But I guess it will happen here too.
It could. if people are going outside to see what's happening or not happening on the darkened avenues.
No, I find it, this. I find that those kind of things are the work of genius. Really, it's amazing. It's great. I've seen. I've seen photos of a bingo being played from balcony, and people, calling up numbers for an entire population of buildings to hear the numbers.
That's sure.
So amazing. Yeah, that's really, really unbelievable.
That could work.
And I'm waiting to see what the technologies will bring. For instance, I found out, and I will apply it next Wednesday. I have a class in Italian cinema and culture, and next week we have on schedule to watch together a movie. And so I did some research, and I found a little web page that allow one to set up a YouTube movie and to synchronize the playing of the movie with other people. So,
oh, nice!
It seems to be very nice. I tried it with my daughter, and at home it worked well.
Right.
Everybody can pause the movie and can chat, so it's pretty nice. So I will do that with my students who are 8. So
okay.
That's a perfect number. And then if it works Wednesday, I want to do soirees of Italian movies with other people. I already have Jim on board. And, of course, I will play a Mario Bava movie.
Uh-huh.
So, and I'll hopefully he will participate too in next movie. And if you want, I'll send everybody the link to participate. The time may not be very comfortable because it's at class time, so it's Wednesday at 2:30 p.m.
Okay.
It will be 11:30. No, it will be 12:30 your time.
Right.
More or less.
Oh, that's not
but
bad.
We won't begin immediately with the movie because first we will do some chatting around through Zoom. Then we'll have a couple of students who will present the movie,
okay.
Talk a little bit about the movie that we will be showing, and then we'll go watching the movie together. So it will be a nice experiment. I'm eager to do that.
And so what are some of your strategies that you're using to move your classes completely non-in-person?
I'm trying to take advantage of a few tricks, of a few things that I used with other classes I did on fully online in the past. So, first of all, the very first week, which is next, I asked my students to do two things. First one is an asynchronous activity that I will give them instruction for tomorrow. So they will receive through the websites or through our LMS instructions for the asynchronous activities that they can do in the first part of the week. Second part of the week, we will have a more or less video conferencing style class in which I will have, I will try and have a dynamic similar to what we're doing in class already, in the sense that I'll explain a couple of things and then we'll practice together.
Okay.
So I hope to have at a minimum the part in which they see my face talking. That I'm really terrorized by the idea that I have to inflict them that pain. So I will do that in the minimum possible terms, and then see how practicing together live works.
Right.
And, you know, I have always, for every class that we do face-to-face, I have two students who together they will make a summary of the of what happened, what we discussed about, and what we did during the class. And then they will publish that on the website, on the, their blog. And I do syndicate everything, as you know. Then I also have other students coming up and helping me out with other stuff that we do on class. So I plan to do more or less the same. So I will ask a couple of students to show their own screens so that people can see what they're doing and be inspired by them, and so on and so forth. So I will try to do that dynamic that works pretty well in the classroom. I'll experiment if how it works on the video conferencing tool, and then we'll mix again very tried asynchronous activities like the daily photos, which is going on. So from that point of view, nothing has changed. The una foto cada día is working smoothly every day, and students are participating, so that's fine. The podcast just got a little bump because we were about to publish the first episode when all this happened. So after this little disruption, already the first group who already recorded the first episode will publish it very shortly, and then we'll keep on recording at a distance. I mean, the episodes by groups, so it will work as smoothly as it worked in classroom. So I don't have any issue there.
How do you I mean, I've been thinking a lot about just trying to appreciate, and I mean, what about keeping student, like, their motivation in all this with everything else that they now have to worry about, like,
yeah,
you know, how do we fold all that into, like, everything else that we're redeploying or reconfiguring?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, what do you hear from your students in terms of their assessment?
Well, it's early to know, but I have my ears wide open, and I ask them to be patient and to enjoy, quote unquote, the boredom and the anxiety that happens with these times, mm-hmm. and to write about it or be creative about it. So produce stuff. And be them audio, video, or posts in their blogs. So all that will be very, very useful. Or tweet about it. So we'll be seeing that. And I think that actually one of the best thing about the video conferencing stuff is that, to talk about the situation. And fortunately, I have at least two classes where we can do that often. And that can easily be incorporated within the class. Mm-hmm. So that's, for us, it's not easy, but it's part of. So I don't know how other colleagues can do that. You know, perhaps in the humanities, in the social sciences, it would be easier than, again, in chemistry or physics. But there's so much of chemistry and physics happening with the virus that actually you can, I'm pretty sure that my colleagues in other areas can do that too. Mm-hmm. So the point, I think, is to talk about how we feel because we're not used at all. I know you, for instance, are pretty used to working from home, and I guess you're better equipped than I am or we are here to do that. But precisely for that reason, we have to take things in a slow motion and reflect on that and talk about that altogether. So I'll try to do that. And by the way, please come on and participate in any way you want with the classes and with stuff we're doing. So if you have any idea, and you have many ideas, so you can please share with us. And we'll be happy to change course. And I think this is also the ideal time to experiment with students and among us. I mean, I don't want to sound cynical. No, I mean, we're not rats in a lab, but it's good to being able with some freedom to experiment and to I mean, we are seasoned enough to have the health, both physical and mental, or and the learning of our students as our polar star all the time. So I think that comes without saying almost. So
and there's something about, you know, like the fact that around the world people are facing the same situation
at the same time.
I can't think of anything that has ever like affected us like this.
Exactly. That's very very inspiring in a way. No, it's maddening, and but that makes us so much closer than we feel. And so
I'm glad I'm glad the daily photos work out. What do students think of that activity?
Well, it began a little before the virus suspension, so I still do not have any assessment, but anyhow, by looking at their participation, it seems to be quite good. And you know, I mean, this situation makes for them, for all of us, impossible to get out to shoot photographs. So sometimes we need to use older photos to participate, because I told them, please do not get out of your houses to shoot photographs.
Yeah.
So if you cannot do, for instance, today the challenge of the day is Sagrado. Of course, we cannot go there and shoot photos today, even because it's closed. Not only because there's an order, an executive order, not to get out of one's house, but everybody, at least among us, has a photo of Sagrado, of something at Sagrado to share. So it will be interesting to see. I haven't posted mine.
Yeah, sometimes I laugh at those. Like, you know, last week was like Puerto Rican food, and so, but
yeah,
you know, you bend the rules. That's
exactly.
You know, you don't have to.
That's
you
it.
You don't have to be literal. I'm thinking about it a lot because I have a new project that I'm involved with, and it's you know, it's an organization looking to see how they can get distributed members to interact more. And I mean, you know how much I love doing these, but there's actually some, like, you know, I think there's a lot that can be done with something that's kind of a simple activity that you can sort of like draw people in to doing things they may not ordinarily try, or exposing them to new resources. And so it's always one of my favorite things to be able to bring into a project.
I started
trying to go through the process I've been mentioning about. It would be great to have it so the entire site could work in different languages. So, you know, obviously, you know, you know, when you enter the challenges, you have them in both English and Spanish, but like everything on the page, you know, that the theme generates, can also be in Spanish or whatever language one wants to run this as. And so I am motivated to learn to do it on this project so I can sort of fold it into some of my other WordPress projects.
Oh, that would be great. And in any case, I mean, we would love to help you with the translation of the daily.
Yeah.
So you can simply establish the way we should help, and we can do that.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of time. Well, it's over 1 month left, and 1 month and perhaps a couple of weeks over that we have. So we can do something like that.
Yeah.
And help you with the translation, and I don't know, perhaps even something more connected with the language.
Yeah.
Many students master both languages, and so they can be very helpful too.
Sure.
And by the way, I loved your idea of the Page Flickr thing done by tags.
Oh, thank you.
I would like to try it out. Let me see. At some point in the semester, I would love to.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of which, my new kind of like thing project I want to take on that I like don't have really time or shouldn't be focusing on because it's not a paid project. But I just saw an announcement that the Creative Commons search site, which like.
It does, yeah, it changed.
Yeah, well, and it does Flickr much more, but it's like 50 some different image collections. But anyhow, they published a public API, and so I am thinking about making a version of that site that could draw upon that instead of just Flickr. It would be interesting to see how that plays out. But that's just.
So- What would you mean, the draw from that?
Well, right now, when you use my site, you know, you put in, the tag of chicken, and it finds, you know, random images from Flickr. Well, this hitting the Creative Commons search engine means it could hit images from Flickr, but also all the other public image resources that they have available. It would just be a more diverse collection of images.
Sure, that would be that would be very nice.
Yeah,
actually, I don't know. I like the newer version of the search engine at Creative Commons. But I lost somehow the easiness with which you could search for specifically other kinds of media like sound or stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that I actually wasn't able to at first. So I don't know if it's easy or not. But I didn't look hard enough to check it, but
I think you can.
It
still,
must be.
You can still find their old one, and I think they have some plans to fold the other media.
Ah,
into
okay,
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yes, you can use the older engine. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not crazy. Yeah. I'm not crazy about the way they format their attribution, but that's my own thing.
Yeah, I'm a bit lazy on that. I use that button. And, I have such a hard time with all the precautionary plugins from Firefox that I'm using that disconnect me, etc. specifically, that the security is so high that a lot of stuff doesn't work any longer.
Ah.
So suddenly I have to use another browser to open up the WordPress administration panel for some sites because my Firefox doesn't do. And there must be some tweaking around that to help things around. But Well, now it's not probably the best of times to investigate that. But anyhow, there's so many things that I would like to do, and I have in my to-do list. It's a long list. I would love to go into Graph, the Graph content management system, and to explore it a little bit. I love the Markdown presentation style that this Hibbit is using and other people are using. So I would like to work with that, and you know, I haven't had time. But one of the things that I'm going to do is work harder with Amazon Web Services, because I have a class in networking that will set up a web server and a DNS server in AWS soon. So we'll have a chance to experiment with that.
Yeah.
And that's another of the things that can be done online without practically any disruption. So that's comforting in a way. But listen, how are things where you are? Any disruptions? Any what's happening? What's going on?
You know, it's been a growing concern, and we've been actually following it from way back when it started, with a lot of concerns. Okay. But yeah, it's a state of emergency in provinces, and you know, like there, places, you know, are being told to close and change their way of business, and schools are being shut down and canceled, and the universities, of course, are going online. You know, it's another question. It's a bigger move to think about what you do for, you know, secondary and primary school.
Sure.
But at least, you know, they've been very proactive here. You know, it feels somewhat comforting, because, you know, we're in a less densely populated area.
But yeah,
it just feels just like everywhere. It's the uncertainty of how this is going to play out and how long it's going to take to sort of like go through this period of changing everything and being you know, where everybody's in their homes. Like, you know, I was meaning to ask, like, you know, how long do you think we're in this situation for? And I think it's months, you know, to be honest.
And to be honest, me too. I don't think this will be there will be an easy way out. And we're possibly talking about a return of the virus in a mutated form in the fall.
Yeah.
So it's really, well, it's dire. But fortunately, I mean, Canada has not been hit hardly, at least until now, and especially, as you say, the provinces with huge spaces, which basically is all Canada except the big cities, it should be easier for you guys to maintain, I mean, distances with social distancing with other fellows.
It could be, but it's here, it's everywhere. It's like, it's in Iceland, it's in Greenland, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It's
so
everywhere.
I don't think anybody's, you know, immune to it, but at least, you know, we feel a certain sense about, like, you know, at a local and a national level, the government has been very proactive with being serious about this. Cough, cough, and basically, like, doing things to sort of show that they really are gonna, like, try to care for people's well-being, and you know, and that they're bracing for this, and not in 2 months of denial that it's even a reality. And it's just,
yeah,
it's a little bit horrific to think about, you know, what has gone on in the United States, and to think about it's just like it's a brewing situation that could explode.
Oh, definitely, definitely. That's very much worrisome. And same has been happening here. There's been a denial, and the testing kits are not here. So, we have to wait until results come from Atlanta, mm-hmm. and or California or other places in the U.S. And they tend to take some time, and this means that not all who should are being tested, and so actually then we don't know any data on the situation here in Puerto Rico currently. We only know that some 20 people have resulted infected, mm-hmm. positive to the virus. One has died as of today, and there are a number of possible cases, which to me it's an absurdity to talk about possible cases, because it's no information at all. We already know that there must be a lot of cases under the radar, mm-hmm. and in every country that happens, in Italy as well as Spain, and the real cases are much more than official statistics. But here we don't even have a statistics, because the testing kits are not readily available. So that's something very much worrisome.
Yeah, and for Puerto Rico, who's already been at the short end of
exactly
getting equitable, you know, services and treatment, it's like, exactly. here's another one.
Indeed. And I can't help but feel a bit anxious about, you know, I have a feeling, I've never been a pessimist in my life, but at this time, I have a feeling that a certain kind of world, the Western civilization-like world that we know, especially people of our generation, is crumbling down.
Yeah.
I mean, the finances are crumbling down. And the health, well, perhaps there's only one huge good takeout of all this, that actually there's less pollution, less contamination, but humans are being hit pretty hard. So there's this sense of doom. You remember Dr. Doom from Marvel Comics?
Yeah.
I loved him.
Yeah.
That was one of my preferred characters.
Well, it's definitely a sign of the times if it's testing Antonio's optimism. So what are your strategies for, latching onto your optimism? What are you doing?
I don't know. Cooking.
Okay.
I'm cooking a lot these days. So, and actually, you know, something which is the most bought item in Italy currently is wheat flour.
Mm-hmm.
So people are again discovering the art of making pasta and bread on their own.
Right.
And that's so nice.
Yeah,
that's very comforting.
That's rewarding. I haven't gotten to the pasta level yet, but I have done some bread, yeah.
You do that, bread and pizzas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I sometimes I do bread and pasta, of course. I like to do that. But actually doing pasta is very easy. So it's not even as time consuming as is making bread. I mean,
Maybe I'll look it up.
Yeah, you don't need to wait for the
the rise. Yeah.
Exactly, the rising and all that stuff. So even if I have a great recipe from from bread, which comes from Mark Bittman when he was at the New York Times, and it's a great, great recipe with almost no work at all. It's the laziest person's recipe for making bread. And it comes out a wonderful homemade bread, rustic style, very, very good bread, oh. I have to say.
Can you send me that recipe?
I will, okay. I will. I will look for it and I will send it to you.
Okay.
So Corey's fine and Felix are fine?
Yeah, we're all fine. And we're, you know, we have a nice quiet spot and we have plenty of spaces we can go and not have to worry about interacting with people.
Yeah.
So that's
indeed, that's very good.
And
yes.
We're due a walk right now because the sunshine looks beautiful.
Ah, good. Yes. Well, I've been walking a little bit too, but I miss going up to the university on foot. And I tend to be lazier when I stay home.
Yeah.
So I need to find a sort of an activity that's legal and healthsome as soon as possible.
So you're actually not even supposed to be out during the day.
Yes, no, there's no problem. If you, okay. I mean, you can go and buy food or groceries and that sort of stuff.
But to take a walk or anything like that?
I think it should be allowed. I haven't seen any serious forbidden things like that not to do. But still, the idea is to stay home, and I'm trying to be as true as possible to that. So not to venture outside. For instance, today I haven't gone out. But yesterday I went twice to do shopping and food and that sort of stuff that we needed to buy. So I did my and tomorrow I'll have to get out too. Tomorrow there's the recycling of some plastic that we need to do and some watering plants, etc., that we need to take care of.
Okay.
So. Yeah, that's good too.
It's always wonderful to hear your voice, and we have over
thanks.
50 minutes,
same.
So we broke the rules.
Oh wow, we doubled the rules.
Yeah, and then some.
And that's how exactly. I love these rules.
Yes,
and now I mean the frequency now will take a huge peak during this day. So your AWS budget will peak too.
We could. I think it was 47 cents last month. So.
Wow.
You're breaking my bank.
Yeah. I'll so we'll use, what's the name of that financing site? Kickstarter to do something next time.
Yeah, I was hoping you weren't going to say Bitcoin because apparently that's worthless now.
Well, everything in the financing, my pension plan is worthless. So
I don't even want to look.
So I mean, I don't even dare to go and look at it.
No, don't look.
In fact, I'm not.
Okay.
So Alan. Great talk
yes,
to you
yes.
as always.
Yes, and thank you for instigating.
Well, it must be done.
Yep.
And I hope we keep on doing this. It's very healthy.
Yes, I agree.
So,
I agree.
Especially in these dire times. And actually, we have a record. We began this in dire times, and we keep on.
Yes,
with dire times too. So.
That's I'm in it with you. Okay. Okay.
All right.
Give my best to Hilda and the family.
Thank you. Thank you. The same to you and your dearest.
Okay.
Well, bye. A huge hug.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Same to you, Antonio.